Do we think open world or like more structured, like God of War style?
I think it should be God of War-esque, I think, to be good.
I hope so.
I don't see him. I mean, if he's got a bike, maybe who knows? You can. The sky's the limit if you've got a bike. Well, I guess the road.
Maybe it flies.
That's going to be the theme for the next year, bikes. We've got Metroid Prime doing the same thing as well, right?
Shitty bikes, maybe, but we'll see.
And welcome to the Press Start podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
Today on the show, we're going to be discussing the PlayStation State of Play that happened in the week, EA getting acquired, the Xbox Ally X prices, Forza Horizon 6, and a few others. There's plenty to discuss today. But first, let's start, as we are getting in the habit of doing, by discussing an unpopular gaming opinion submitted by you, a listener. Today comes from Nick Sutton, who writes, quote, "Stop putting platforming in first-person shooters. We bought your game to blast zombies, aliens, and demons, not to play hopscotch. And nothing ruins the fun faster than surviving a massive shootout only to die 5 minutes later because you misjudged a leap in first person." This one stood out to me just because I've been playing a bit of Dying Light 2 recently, and there are a fair few platforming sections in that game, which truthfully I rather like. It's obviously a big feature of the game. I think they're pretty good, but there have been times where I would agree with this statement personally. Shannon, what do you make of it, though?
In terms of like fall damage and stuff, is that what they mean? Like,
I think just like think awkwardness.
They mean platforming in general.
Yeah, platforming, okay. But in first person shooters specifically.
So like,
yeah, I'm trying to think of where that would be an issue. Give me an example.
I think they might be talking about Doom Eternal and Doom the Dark Ages.
But yeah, that's a
I have
one.
An inkling that is where they're coming from.
Was it you?
No, I loved both those. I mean, I loved Eternal more, but I loved both those games. I feel like they feel a lot like Metroid. I feel like
the platforming is pretty straightforward in those games.
And for a lot of first-person games, you need something else to break it up. Otherwise, you can't just be shooting people constantly.
For sure.
100%.
Rather that than those mech sequences.
I think, yes, and the dragon and all that. I do think there's maybe a pushback against... I feel like ever since COD went that exosuit double jump, triple jump sideways, under the table kind of movement system that...
Not under the table.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that all of that shit. Like, I feel like since then there has been a lot of, I guess, desire from shooter players to be like boots on the ground all the time. And I think in a COD game where the campaigns are quite brisk, that's probably a reasonable request. You just want to shoot shit for a bit. But I personally think like for games like Doom or, I mean, I know Metroid's not a shooter, but like the Prime games, I think breaking up the battles, the boss battles and the scrimming with enemies with these like, I guess, slower platforming segments helps it stay fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example in a first-person game where I've not enjoyed the platforming. And I'm struggling. I think I've kind of enjoyed it in most. Like, Mirror's Edge, I'm a big Mirror's Edge fan. I don't talk about Mirror's Edge enough.
But that whole
podcast,
game is like
really.
Platforming.
But
that's
whole
not
game
a shooter.
Like,
I feel like that's
saying,
the opposite.
I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with the perspective in terms of getting, like, parkour or getting platforming kind of right. I think Jedi Survivor and Fallen Order before it, the platforming in those games aren't great. Like, there's kind of an awkwardness to the kind of character movement that just doesn't translate well. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, perspective is kind of null and void to this argument, I would say. There's
Titanfall
good platforming,
2.
There's bad platforming. The perspective's not really much a factor.
Titanfall?
Necessarily. Titanfall, it's great.
To his point again, I don't have any examples, but I can see how platforming in a first-person shooter game could ruin the entire experience.
Yeah,
I do think
if it's not aligned with your expectations, like he did say, I want to play like blast zombies, aliens, and demons. The demons definitely seems like a Doom mention. I get that if that's why you bought the game, that's all you want to do. Sure, I can see it being annoying, but personally, I like a bit of variety in my gameplay.
I do think first person, it is a bit harder to do platforming well, because obviously when you're third person, you can orient yourself around a platform. Mm. Like, you can kind of see where you're landing and stuff. Like, imagine playing Galaxy in first person. Mario Galaxy in first person, like, it'd be unplayable. You probably get sick. Yeah. But yeah, I very much disagree with them, but I can understand where they're coming from. I don't accept it, but I understand it.
Okay.
If that's, yeah.
So I think based by our reaction, not too unpopular again.
Yeah, that's
opinion.
Not, that's well, our least fiery one, I feel. yeah.
Well, keep them coming. If you have an unpopular gaming opinion, just chuck it in the comments below the podcast on YouTube or find us on social platforms. Either which way, we'll take note and include our favorites in future episodes. Let's get on with the news now, though. And I'm eager to kind of wind the clock back a little bit and discuss the PlayStation State of Play that happened, I think, maybe like the night after we recorded last week's episode. So it's winding the clock back a little bit. But there are a fair few things I think we ought to get into. Firstly, I want to discuss Wolverine. We got our first look at the upcoming Insomniac game, and it looks absolutely gruesome, kind of far more than I think I expected it to. And we got a kind of tentative release window of spring 2026, which doesn't feel like stupidly far away either. It's nice to have a bit of a date to work towards on that.
Can we just clarify when that actually is?
Spring 2026, like that's like this time that, next year, right? It's like 12 months away.
Is it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think so. This is spring, right?
Yeah, but like is that Northern Hemisphere spring? This is why like I wish
these are your notes. I'm assuming you did
them. They're not my notes. I didn't do it.
I took them from the write up on the website. Oh, didn't I didn't do
this.
That?
This is like the one write up I need.
All me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's spring. It's holiday. Up. Holiday next year.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's yeah. Well, that's
it's their holiday game, which is checked out.
Feels, so it's probably Insomniac often released in September time, right? I reckon we're about like a little under a year away from this game coming out.
Cool.
yeah. Let's talk about the game, Shannon.
Talk about the season.
Does it do enough to, like, distinct, do you think, to the Spider-Man games to capture your interest?
Yeah, I think so. I think it looked different enough, art style-y. I mean, it's a comic book game, so it's always going to look similar. But like, obviously, you're not swinging through the city, which is a good enough change up for me. I don't really know enough anything about like Wolverine or X-Men, to be honest. So like, I don't know if him on a bike is like the normal. Him on a bike is the normal thing, isn't it?
I don't know about that. I don't know enough to comment on that.
Like Logan, isn't Logan like on a bike?
Yeah,
I mean, he can ride a bike. He's a human. Okay, he's
I mean, not everyone can do
he's
that.
He's not like Sonic. He can't just like speed along.
Yeah. I think it looks different.
I thought
enough.
There was lots
and
of like panther running with his claws. Yeah. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah. And very, very, very gory.
Yeah.
Just very intense in a way that Spider-Man just isn't at all. It's almost goofy. So I really like that.
Yeah. My hope is that the game is kind of mature in all of its themes and not just kind of its gore. And I think we got a bit of a taste from that of what we've seen. So I kind of hope they just kind of push the storytelling a little bit more than they did with the Spider-Man games. Not knocking them, but I think they're just kind of, they played a little bit safe in some ways. I'd like to see, I don't know, them tell a bit more of a grittier kind of story maybe with Wolverine, as far as you can with superheroes.
I was going to say, I think Marvel, I don't know if you're going to get much like in terms
but Logan,
of not
Logan was,
safe
right
yeah so like, but I still feel that that still feels like a long time ago. I feel like things have slightly changed since then. I would not be playing this for the story. I think it looks really, really good though, like otherwise, like I was kind of surprised that they went this far in the kind of, you know, gank someone with your claws like through their neck and
I'm sorry, you what?
Like, do you know what
gank?
Yeah, like, yeah,
it's not a word I'm familiar with.
Big gank.
Okay,
that's a word, isn't it?
That's
definitely
I've heard
a
of.
Word.
I'm not doubting you, but I'm just it's news to me.
I've been on this land much longer than you. I'm sure gank. Yeah, maybe it's an old word from the old world. No, but real talk. Like, I think it looks really good, and I have more of a fondness for X-Men than Spider-Man. So. Yeah, like to see the other ones appearing, and even Omega Red, who like was a big dork in like the Marvel vs. Capcom game, so it's cool to just make him cool in this. Like, I really like that too. And then you, like, couple that with the leaks, if they're still in. Like, I am keen for this overall. I do hope the combat is a bit more involved. Like, I do see a lot of the... Like, even the clips I see of Ghost of Yotai now where there's these cool takedowns and stuff. It's like, yeah, but they're just, like, flashy takedowns. Like, I hope there's a bit of depth to this combat and stuff. Because I know that these games tend to be, like, very flashy, but then they might not be as mechanically deep as I'd like. But it's reminding me a lot of, you know, X-Men Origins. Did any of you guys play that, like, back in the day? Like, that was another...
I remember it, yeah.
Another Wolverine game where, like, it was surprisingly violent. And it was, like, almost Devil May Cry-esque in the way that the combat played out. So I would love if it was something like that. But then if it's, like, going to be a long game, that kind of combat can get grating after a while. So I'm very interested to see, like, how the whole game is structured and how it plays out. But I am excited for now. More than I thought I ever would be, to be honest.
Yeah.
Whereas, do we think open world or, like, more structured? Like, God of War style?
I think it should be God of War-esque, I think, to be good.
I hope so.
I don't see him. I mean, if he's got a bike, maybe who knows? You can. The sky's the limit if you've got a bike. Well, I guess the road.
Maybe
limit.
It flies.
But, that's it's going to be the theme for the next year, bikes. We've got Metroid Prime doing the same thing as well, right?
Shitty bikes, maybe, but we'll see. I think it has to be a little bit more focused. Just sort of something different. Like, I feel like the open world kind of vibe with Spider-Man and Yotai is kind of, I don't want to say tired, but we've been there, done that, right? Like, we don't really need stuff like that.
And I think for Spider-Man, the open world makes so much sense because of the traversal mechanics in the game. Well, like, I don't like see that being as much of a feature with Wolverine.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you could still do something like that, but yeah, I agree. I think if it's like, and I think if they make it less open, that gives them a lot more opportunity to kind of do something a little bit more interesting with the way the story plays out too.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with the game. I think game feel is like really important as well. I'm going to go kind of hands-on with it because I want Wolverine, or I expect Wolverine to feel very different to playing as Spider-Man, but they really nailed that web-slinging. I think that's part of what made those two games, or three games with Miles Morales as well, so special. I think if they kind of nail the feeling of being Wolverine, and no doubt the kind of gore kind of features into that a little bit as well, that'll probably be enough for me to kind of be won over, specific, like, and especially if they do it in more of like a God of War kind of style game design too. I'm going to be very, very in on this. I'm also very, very in on Saris as well. We got our first look at gameplay footage for that upcoming Housemarque game. It does look quite similar to Returnal, which is a big tick in my book. And it's coming March 20th, 2026, which will come around sooner than I think you may otherwise feel. March not all that far away. Remind me, did you two play Returnal? Have you got much of an interest in this? You're both nodding.
Yeah, Returnal is still after Astrobot, my favorite PlayStation game, like hands down.
Wow!
I just think it is such a incredible. No, not ever. Relax, the land. It's watching this Saris footage. They're definitely dumbing it down a bit, I think, so people can kind of get into it a bit,
which I don't mind.
I don't know. Like, I really liked that. But then the vibe is so different.
Is this going to be you saying that you're better than games than everyone else for like a 17th week?
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up. I made a conscious effort to not say it. No, but like, but real talk, like, I also understand, especially like I'm playing Hades now, and that's a game where, say, every run gives you something, right? So they're, even though I sit down for 2 hours and don't win, I still make progress at the end of that 2 hours, right? Like, I've got something to show for that, either some story or whatever. And I think Returnal definitely doesn't do that for like a lot of people who aren't as good at games and stuff, so they don't get through as quickly. So like, it's, I understand why they probably want to make it a bit more, I guess, inviting at the beginning. I kind of just hope that they ramp it up quickly, like get you in quicker, but then also ramp it up quicker, if that makes sense.
I think, the problem with Returnal, and I can kind of speak from a little bit of experience with this, is that there was like a big step up, I think, in like the third kind of biome, like the third area.
Yes, with in the difficulty. The drones that like dive at you after you
the,
shoot.
Like, red, 100%. Yeah. And I think it just lost a lot of people at that point, which was a real shame because the game just got like, especially really like the story
and stuff, and
special. Yeah, it got Celine really is so interesting as well. Point.
So like, yeah, it was, there was just a lot of cool things, and the, even the horror esque elements. I feel when you found the house each time,
for sure, cool. I think like that kind of latter half of the game took the game from being like otherwise excellent to something kind of special, which I didn't myself experience until the co-op update came out. And then that kind of gave me the, I don't know, the eagerness to revisit it. And I had people like willing to kind of grind their way through it with me. And that's when I really got into the game. So I'd be stoked as if they did bring back co-op in some sort of fashion with Saris. But yeah, I think it looks great. And if it's maybe a little bit more forgiving for people, it's kind of the game I wouldn't mind, like a difficulty sort of slide or two in some way that lets people kind of play it their way. I'd be game for
like
that.
It'd be like an elegant solution, I think, to balance it for people. But yeah, like, I think overall, yeah, I think it looks really good.
I think I fell off Returnal just because... If you couldn't, I think it was like the third world, it was really hard. And even in co-op, like I just couldn't do it with whoever I played with. So then there was you could get better, but like there was so much randomness in terms of your run, but you didn't get anything else or more health or
there was like anything. Literally zero things unless you got to the next. So
you could do it 100 times and it was just down to run or the guns you got, which I liked, but I think there needs to be some element where you feel like you're making
get knocked
progress.
Back a million times.
You do, and then you just give up because there's no way forward.
I feel like it'd be really easy to do with the difficulty slider. Like if there's like an OG mode, which is the kind of unfiltered sort of version, right? Then you could have like one where there's health regen and I don't know, some sort of checkpointing system, that kind of
even
thing.
Like
I feel like there's ways around it.
Hades does it quite well, where if you turn it on God mode, you just gain 2% defense each time you die, and that's like a small amount, but it like gradually. You know what I mean?
I just think there needs to be something
like that.
And like, if you're better than average, you're still going to beat it quicker.
Or you
anyway,
can just turn
so
it
just
off.
Don't think it
like,
really
yeah.
impacts you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really my only criticism because it was really cool, the backstory of Returnal, and I never got to see it.
Yeah,
and I just gave up.
Yeah, maybe we should play it together, Shannon. Maybe
I think
we fire up the co-op.
Did we not try? Maybe
it
was Brody and
I,
and that was just
a
hellish experience.
I think I played it with you, Shan.
Did you? Whoever did.
I think we just kept, like, it actually became annoying because
harder,
someone kept
dying. We decided it was harder with co-op.
Because you have
to
keep going back to, like, save your, like, incompetent co-op teammate.
So, I think it did spawn extra enemies, but it's just something to be said about playing it with others that just kind of, like, compels you to stick with it a little bit more.
There's just... No progression, which I personally is not good for my mental health, so I'm keen for this.
It's a bit dramatic.
It's very fair.
Look, there's one more
everything started with that.
Game I specifically wanted to discuss from the director, and that was Deus Ex Remastered. It was announced that it's on its way in collaboration with Eidos Montreal, and will add compatibility for all the PS5 features as well as remastered graphics, and it's coming the 5th of February 2026. So a little bit before Saris. James, I'm coming straight to you on this one because you let out some sort of groan or exasperated sigh, whatever that was, as I was reading that out. Is this a must-play game for fans, do you think? Are you excited for this? Fans and newcomers, I should say, if you've not played it before.
Look, in the last 12 months, I think I've made peace with the fact that this is probably my favorite game ever. It's a game like that I revisit literally every year. I played it when they put it on PS5 early this year, I think, on the PS2 Classics. And but so many people I want to play this can't, or there's no other way for them to do it because the one that's on PS2 Classics isn't the same as the PC one, blah, 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 blah. So, like, this is good, I guess, in that there is a way for you to play it. But that's, like, that's probably the only thing I feel like I can say that's good about it. The new art changes are just so average, I reckon. I don't know if you guys have looked at the trailer.
Yeah, I'm
really
tell which was the new and which was the original.
The sides are not exciting.
Yeah, like, and it's not the best looking game, like, for sure. But like, I think the stuff they're going to be doing under the hood, like in terms of just making it work on a controller and kind of tweaking some quality of life stuff, will do a lot to help newer people play this game. But the visual overhaul that they've given it looks awful. Like, it just it really takes away a lot of like the, I don't want to be like, it's a little bit cliche to say this now, but there is just, there's not as much like grittiness or charm to it. Like it looks like it's just been run through some weird texture
upres or something.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And
it almost looks like they've tried to keep the sort of polygonal sort of look of the original, but
it's
just
too
in a
smooth,
different,
though.
Like they got a different artist to like re-sculpt the face. Like that's kind of all it really looks like.
And this just feels like a pointed attack on me because it's also my birthday week and my favorite game ever, and it doesn't look that good. So it's just like, you know, they definitely have got it out for me. But
yeah,
I'm thankful for another way to play this game and another way to, I guess, earn all the trophies and achievements again. But it frustrates me a little bit that, say, this wasn't given to Night Dive, who wouldn't really give it this kind of treatment, if you get my drift. Like the other Aspia remasters, you get the option to switch to the old art. I think that will be a really good option, if that is an option.
What else did Aspia do?
The Tomb Raider trilogies they've done.
Okay.
The 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6. And the Knights of the Old Republic. And they're also apparently working on the remake. They do a lot of them now. But this is obviously the first one that I have a huge care in.
Yeah.
I also think, it kind of sucks because, like, this is a game where I'm telling everyone how I fucking love it so much, and, you know, there's just so much cool shit in it, and then now they're seeing this and they're like, oh, is this what it looks like for me, seeing this
imagery.
Yeah, well, and it's like, no, yeah, it's so much more than that, you know?
I bet it's the kind of thing you wish you could be really excited about as well, and like, okay, this is it. This is finally, they've done it justice, and it's for you not to be excited about it in that way.
It's the first time I've felt that way. Well, I don't know. Maybe not the first time, but it's the first time I've actually been upset about something, like an artistic choice in that way.
That doesn't feel right. I see the YouTube comments. Clarified. They complain about our negativity, all right?
I don't even know. That person, like, get a grip. Give me some details so I can work on it, whoever you are.
I don't think it was deliberately targeted just to you, James. I think probably we all have that, but it being maybe a little bit too
negative.
Because
I didn't like that trash Metroid trailer. you could be critical of the art you love. That's true. Anyway, yeah.
It's almost a sign you love it.
Exciting but disappointing. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone is talking about it. Like, so maybe they'll change. I don't know what they can change, though. Also, the system specs are worse or, like, more demanding than Mankind Divided. Like, work that out. Like how does that work?
That's kind of wild.
Honestly. Yeah. Think about that. Anyway.
The themes of the game have always interested me. So for that reason, I'm willing to give it a go, especially if they have kind of improved the controls. So that's where I've really struggled with the Metal Gear remasters, is that the controls haven't been like hugely revamped, and I really struggle with the cumbersome nature of them. Granted,
really?
Like I'm not talking about the Snake Eater remake. I'm still to get to that. But I'm talking about the remasters. The Master Collection. Yep. Thank you. I just find the controls very, very clunky. It's the shooting, like hold and then release the button. Let me just press the button, James. How hard
that was
it?
Okay. To be fair, back in the day, PlayStation 2 controllers had pressure sensitive buttons. Did you know this? So if you push the button lightly, it would be an aim. But if you pushed it hard, it would be a shoot. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, and then adaptive triggers, but buttons.
Kind of, yeah. But then obviously future games, future consoles.
I'm leaning into the Zuma character a little bit.
Okay. But like future consoles don't have that. So that's that is like how they've kind of tried to create that situation.
Just let me point and shoot, you know? It's frustrating. Anyhow, I'm starting to sound a bit like Nick Sutton from the start of the podcast. Okay, well, that's kind of
not
about
all
I had on my list. It's not. That's about all that I had on my list specifically to talk about from the State of Play. I did want to otherwise just call out Alan Wake 2 coming to PlayStation Plus. I don't know if it's the month has started yet or if it's next month, but that's a
huge get. I think
it'll
be next week.
Yeah, next week. Okay. That's a huge get. It was obviously my game of the year from 2 years ago, I think I want to say. So if you've not already played that, highly recommend keeping your PlayStation Plus subscription available to play that. Was there anything else that stood out to you two from the state of play? Anything I've not mentioned that you want to shout out?
I think it's kind of very Xbox-like of them to not celebrate God of War with anything but a controller.
True.
I kind of thought there would be something here for that in some way.
Just like
beyond
2D kind of God of War game. Do you reckon there's much?
I don't want to say that because like, if I didn't listen to a leak, I wouldn't have expected that. So, you know, but I just thought there'd be something in some way, like even just a remaster of the Greek trilogy or something. Like, I don't know, something. I'm surprised that they're just doing a controller for what is arguably one of their most popular franchises. So
best franchise of all time.
I don't know about that either.
I want to shout out the speakers, like not that I know about them yet, but I just like PlayStation doing lots of tech this generation. It's very cool to see.
Yeah.
They're not controllers.
The speakers like very much kind of PC speakers, right? Like, is that kind of like desktop speakers?
They're PlayStation Link, so they're both wireless, so you can just take them anywhere, use them
very
with your portal.
Take them to your pool party. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, do you think you'd get the buy these around to put them either side of your TV and use them like in lieu of a headset or...
100%. They've got like AI noise cancelling mics, the lot. Okay. I think they're, that's an interesting use case.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, a few things, but if there's anything else, I mean, there's like Neo 3 we didn't mention. There's also Friday the 13th coming next year too. So there's a few other announcements.
It was a very good
state
of play. Halloween, one of the
not
best,
Friday the
13th.
Just to be clear.
Halloween, sorry.
Halloween, yeah.
From the
also, are we about like announcing it a year out? Like, I feel like you can do that for Wolverine, but like for Halloween,
that's also not been their MO for these games either. So that's that is a little surprising. But yeah, go and check out the full roundup written by Shannon over on the website to get the full deets on all of those. I want to pivot now and talk about EA getting acquired. They confirmed it in a press release earlier today. They're being acquired by a consortium of investors, including Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund, rather controversially, for a whopping, I think, $55 billion it was. So certainly nothing to scoff at. The deal is expected to be finalized by the end of June 2026, so kind of the end of financial year next year. Shannon, first to you for reactions on this. Do you think we as gamers should care much about this news?
I mean, that's a big question to put to me on a Tuesday night. Isn't it?
I guess, do you expect it to radically change the games we get from EA in any meaningful way?
I'd urge everyone to care about what you want to care about. If this is something you want to...
that's a political answer.
Well, I just think if it's something you know about and you feel passionate about and want to boycott EA, go for it. If it's not, then and you want to just enjoy The Sims or FC26 or anything else, I think that's totally fine too.
Yeah,
I think
so maybe
we're going to see a lot of opinions.
Maybe worth calling out that the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund, a bit controversial for many reasons. I guess we don't need to go.
They're
going to
come after you, UN. I'd be careful.
For that reason, I guess, is why it's raising a few eyebrows. But I mean, yeah.
Just like, generally, are you talking?
Just generally, yeah. I think in terms of their stake in EA, like it's a group of investors looking to extract money from a business.
I mean,
I can't
see
them being terribly hands-on.
Look, my thinking with anything like this at the moment is it can't get any worse than how it is. So I feel like EA's been looking for a buyer for ages, and so has Ubisoft. So they've found their buyers. We don't know, right? Like, it could be great, it could be awful. We just don't know.
My official answer is I don't know, but the vibes are off. That's my official answer. So,
Saudi invest heavily, like, this group invest heavily in everyone, right? Like, Nintendo, PlayStation, like, they've got their fingers in every pie.
I don't know if that makes
and
it good.
Being a big soccer fan, the investment in sports is astronomical.
I mean, they bought SNK, right? This is the same group that bought SNK, and I think that's why Ronaldo is in Fatal Fury. Like, they get these weird crossovers to, like kind of...
Yeah.
But,
yeah. They've got
the It's a tricky one, right? Because, like, we know how risky video games are and how expensive they are to make. So if, like, these people have the money, like, and nobody else has the money, then I don't know what the alternative is.
Yeah. It also kind of keeps developers in jobs, I suppose, as well, which, like, is... I'm not saying that's the be-all and end-all, but, like, that's... something to be, I guess, like a bit of a silver lining at the moment, given the amount of divestiture there is as well.
Yeah, but in saying that, again, I'm not an expert on this by a long shot, but if people are hesitant and even wanting to boycott, like I think that's fine if that's the way you want to go at it from here on out.
Yeah, for sure. I think you kind of need to make your own decisions around that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not necessarily like the people I want making decisions around what a video game publisher does and doesn't do.
Like,
I mean,
Mass Effect exist or Dragon Age with how diverse they are. Well,
like, these are investment funds. Like, I don't think they necessarily understand the ins and outs of the industry, and they'll employ people that do.
Until they boot one up.
There might not be much leadership change at EA, who's to say? But yeah, I don't know. I probably wouldn't be opposed to that personally, because I think EA kind of needs to start making some better decisions. Like, they're sitting on kind of a wealth of IP that kind of sits a little underutilized, and some of the decisions that they have made have been questionable.
They haven't been operating well for a long time, right? Like, outside of FC and FIFA, which, like, FC's still done really well, given they dropped the FIFA license. Yeah, they've made a lot of missteps.
Yeah, I'd love to see a return to form. Hopefully that starts with Battlefield 6. I'm sure we'll keep an eye on how that all develops, though, and have more to talk about in future episodes. Let's now talk about the Xbox Ally prices, though. It's soon to be released, and the prices have emerged prior to its October 16th release date. That's here in Australia. It's in line with the rest of the world. The ROG Xbox Ally, so the kind of base edition of it, I guess is fair to say, is going to set you back $999, or basically $1,000. And the ROG Xbox Ally X, so the upgraded model, will cost $1,599, or $1,600 if we round it. So yeah, not cheap. Shannon, I might come to you first. Maybe we make this little mini tech time with Shannon. Are these prices justifiable, do you think?
The lower end one, I think, is a little bit of a harder sell, just because it is more in line with, like, the Steam Deck and, like, the original Ally and stuff, which can be had for a lot cheaper.
What does the Steam Deck kind of set you back at the moment? Remind me.
I think that's like any, like, 500, 600, 700. I think they're on sale, but, like, 500-ish you can get one for in the secondhand market or whatever. But then I think the X is pretty well priced, given, like, the Claw is, I think, $1,750 and has the same processor. Like, it's pretty decent. It's the cheapest one with a Z2 Extreme. And again, I think this, it's really hard to tell because, like, A, nobody has used the new Xbox experience, which I think we've spoken about how important it is, and B, that will be coming to other handhelds. But I think the pricing, especially in Australia, is as good as we could have hoped for. I don't think it was ever going to be any cheaper than what it is for what it is.
And these things are pretty beefy PCs, really, and they're in a handheld device. That sort of tech doesn't come cheap, sadly. But yeah, I can imagine people, you know, with their home console looking at these and going, hang on, like, I spent $1,000 less than that for something that probably plays them just as good. Why do I need to get that? I'll say, well, you don't need to get that. This product isn't for you.
Yeah. In the same way, like, there's like $10,000 gaming laptops that people buy, and it's like, why does anyone need that? So I don't know. There's always going to be a market for this, like, super high-end tech. And I think it's cool that the Ally has been one of my favorite handhelds, and I feel like Xbox, not need a win in this space, but I think they need something to kind of start off this new ecosystem they're building, and this feels like the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, this is not necessarily the example that screams, hey, I should have gone out and bought one of these things, but, like, playing Hollow Knight Silksong, given I'm a Game Pass subscriber, I could have just played that, but I was kind of eager to take it on the go. I felt like it was kind of game that was well suited for that, and so I went, okay, well, I'll get it for my Switch 2 and spend the $40 there, which, like, hey, great, I got Sport Team Cherry as outside of my Xbox Game Pass subscription. But it would have been nice to have like some sort of handheld device that was connected to Game Pass and they could have made use of that subscription.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a few examples like that. So,
and that's,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
It is exciting that like the Xbox app is now pulling in everything. So I do think like this could be the Steam Deck, but for everything in terms of like how easy it is to use. That's the hope.
Yeah, I did notice that update to my the Xbox app on my PC, and it's not bad. I'm pretty impressed by it, actually. I haven't given it like a proper stress test, but yeah, first glance, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's still the Windows of it all that is a little bit, but I think they're hopefully fixing that for this launch.
Does this have the kind of like stripped back Windows OS?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what that's all like. Not long, I guess, until we find out. James, before I move on to the next topic, any interest from you on the Xbox Ally?
Not yet. I think if it ran like the Xbox apps, like old Xbox apps, I'm sure that might come eventually, right?
What do you mean old Xbox apps?
Well, so there are some games that are only on Xbox. They're not like Xbox Anywhere games, so there's no PC. But do you know what I mean? It has to have a PC version.
Yeah.
I think most games going forward, I know I saw Hogwarts Legacy got updated and some games obviously are going back and getting updated. It's not quite there yet, I think, for me. It needs to be at that point where every game works. And there's like job listings and stuff that indicate they're doing some kind of emulation work. So like I'm sure it's coming. But until that happens and like my whole library works on it, like no questions asked, like I'm not in there just yet. But price wise, like
all the PlayStation PC games need to do like cross sync and stuff. Like I just think there was still a long way for PC gaming to go in this space.
I think with every generation, like that's gonna get less of an issue, and over time it'll just become far more commonplace. But like we're already over the past two generations, we've seen major improvements in that. But yeah, it's still at the moment, there's enough of a back catalog that's kind of front of mind that it's a nuisance for people. But I reckon that will like gradually kind of erode over time. Let's stick with Xbox a moment longer, though, and talk about Forza Horizon 6, which was announced during Tokyo Game Show. It's coming out next year and set in Japan, coming to Xbox and PC first. With PlayStation presumably coming at a later date, although that remains to be seen. James, maybe first to you on Forza Horizon 6. Are you excited for the new game, the new setting? Does it do much for you?
No, I'm not a car person.
I started realizing that as I started throwing the question away.
Yeah, it was too late. You'd already launched the line of questioning. I'll say I'm shocked. Now that I think about it, I'm shocked this hasn't happened already.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
they
went
to Australia before they went to Japan.
Yeah, like that's crazy to me, but it's cool. But I think it is there. Yeah, I mean, the only Fast and Furious movie I ever saw was Tokyo Drift, and that was cool, I guess. So, if I can redo that, why not? It'll be on Game Pass anyway. So, but yeah, no, not my vibe.
I love the Forza Horizon series. They are just like the arcade racer nowadays in my mind. Like I think Need for Speed is like not what it once was. And Burnout has just been forgotten by EA, returning back to the earlier conversation. So kind of like the best thing I've got that isn't Burnout Paradise Remastered at the moment is the Forza Horizon series. And I think like being set in Japan, like I'm really hoping for kind of the vibes of like Need for Speed Underground and Carbon, like that sort of era, like lots of kind of car customization, an emphasis on street racing, that kind of thing. I can see it being awesome. And Japan's such a good setting because it's not only got those like sprawling metropolis kind of setting, like you could be going up around Mount Fuji and go into some of those more like kind of regional countryside sort of settings as well. So I'm really excited for this. I'm a little bit disappointed that PlayStation isn't day and date, because I sort of feel like I could get a big group together to kind of all play this together if that were the case. But I'm just going to have to convince them to dust off their Xboxes and we can all play it together there instead.
Or PC.
Or PC, yeah. Shannon, thoughts, feelings?
On what? Sorry, I tuned out.
My God.
One second reading something.
Forza Horizon 6 sent
Forza
Japan,
Horizon.
Not coming to PlayStation day and then.
Yeah, it all makes sense. I think it's not even just a like, it's not even a like decision that they don't want to have it on PlayStation. I think it's probably just around development, right? Like it is hard developing for everything at once for an Xbox team.
So you don't think it's like a strategic play? Like let's try to sell some more Xboxes.
It's probably both.
Or get some Game Pass subscriptions.
I think this was probably like far in a development before they had like really gone hard on their everything strategy. But yeah, I think it's both. And then I think why not double dip and have that second wave? But then, yeah, I'm keen for it. I think Forza Horizon like is the only racing game I play. Japan, like James said, does really make sense. And I know people have wanted it. Similar to like Assassin's Creed Japan, like this is one that's been requested for like since the start of Horizon. So I think it makes sense. The rollout, I don't know, I feel like it could have been done a bit better. Like, I get announcing it in Japan,
oh God,
but I just
awful.
Feel like it
so
hasn't
awful.
Had the fanfare and that it probably deserves.
Chuck in some game, like, gameplay.
Yeah, just like, anything.
And the reveal, like, putting it up a few hours before the actual reveal, which was their ender for their show, like, yeah, I don't know. Not my vibe.
Yeah.
I just think there was more exciting ways to reveal that.
I wonder if it's just to get people like paying attention to kind of TGS coverage or something like that.
I mean, and then you would announce like a TGS event, wouldn't you?
That whole TGS thing was kind of weird, just how they approached it. But that's it for another episode, I think. No, it's a good call. Big playground year next year.
Yeah, should
allegedly.
Should be.
Will they both come out? Will neither come out? We'll see. Ever.
All right, let's close out today's topics by chatting about what we've been playing. James, first I want to ask you about Hades 2. You kind of mentioned it earlier in the show, but I take it you've been spending a bit of time with it. How are you finding it?
Yeah, it's great. It's probably one of my favorite games of the year. The more I play it, the more I fall in love with it. Some like very minor issues, but they're still issues, so I'm not going to ignore them. But yeah, so did either of you play Hades 1? I know Shan played Hades 2 in early access.
Yeah, I played a fair amount.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both, it's really good. There's just so much great about it. I just love the way the story plays out. The combat is so different to the first game, but still has the same vibe in a way. It's really, it's weird how they've changed so much, but it still feels so similar. And I think, yeah, it feels like a sequel in a lot of ways. Like, it just seems to expand on everything. The way that you explore worlds now is different. Like, one of the zones that you go to is more open, and you have, instead of, like, being multiple rooms, it's just a big open field, and you've got multiple mini battles to fight on each field, cool. As an example. One of the later ones is like, you know, you explore a city and each building has stuff. Like, it just feels a little bit more, it feels like more is probably the easiest way to put it. Like, it's not just the same game with new gods and a new playable character, right? So yeah, I really recommend it. Really easy to get into, I think, which is a lot of these games don't get right. Yeah, I feel is like they are kind of prohibitively hard, but this is still difficult. But it definitely just eases you in a bit better. So yeah, like
like the first game, like there's something about the difficulty though, that's like when you kind of do take that final hit and you have to start a run again, you kind of like are kicking yourself because you know the mistake that you made and you, like,
same.
It's kind of that addictive sort of loop. Like
but
you're
like,
kind of sucked into another run.
Yeah. But then you go straight back into it. And that's
there's
the other
not
thing
a lot
with this
dilly daddling, yeah.
Because I've been playing Hades 1 again as well, just to like compare, and it is definitely it's weird because you can't dash like Zagreus could in this. You've only got a sprint, and that kind of just changes how the combat flows quite a bit. But on top of that, every room is over. It feels like, I don't know if I haven't timed it formally, but it feels like it's over way quicker. So you definitely feel like you're getting through it quicker. I suspect maybe your bottlenecks take longer. So like you hit a boss, they just tend to take longer. But the what I'm trying to say is the pacing is so much better than the first game in that way. Like if I got to the end of a run in Hades 1 and died, I'd be like, oh, like I'm going to play it again because I'm addicted to this. But I felt like there was a lot more to go to get to that point again. Whereas in Hades 2, like because of how brisk it is, in a good way, the pacing is just better as a result. They've added some extra shit that like I don't appreciate, like I don't care too much about, but some people might. It's like Jedi Survivor. There's a weird random gardening mechanic that they've thrown in to the home base, which like I just don't know why it needs to be there, but sure, whatever.
Can you play space chess as well?
You can't, I'm sorry, but you can. I was going to say you can fish, but you can do that in the first game too. And you've got two paths now as well, so you can go underground to beat Kronos, but you can also go up the Mount Olympus to do something else that I won't ruin. So there's actually two paths to take now with four areas each. So it's there's a lot in this game, a lot to do. And I don't know, just really, really cool. I knew that I would like it. I didn't know I would like it this much, especially since, you know, with sequels, sometimes you're like, oh, I've played the first game and the second one isn't as unique, or that there's not as much wow or like shine on there, I guess, because you've done it before. I still have that feeling, even though I destroyed Hades 1 and I am in the process of destroying Hades 2. Like, I just really, really good.
I was going to say, I really appreciate that because I feel like Hades was the original, that is, was so successful that they really could have just done it again, kept the formula more or less the same, maybe, you know, switched out the weapons and introduced some new characters. Like, it really didn't need to be a lot more than that. But the fact that they took the time to keep, I guess, like the hallmarks of it that worked so well and that fans love, whilst introducing a character with new movement and new combat mechanics and just leveling it up the way that they seemingly have, I really admire quite a lot. And I'm very excited to get hands on with that myself as well.
Even like, because she's a witch, she has so magic now, right? And that she has an MP bar, and your boons and stuff will maybe say sacrifice some of that permanently to give you a certain buff or something. So they kind of work the magic side of it into things. Like, there's a lot, it's just completely different. And even the art style, like, it's the same, but because it's all very like, I said nocturnal, like in my review, like that's the start. Like, you know, it's got this very dark, like, palette to it compared to the first game. So even though the art is the same, even the returning characters have been redesigned in a way to fit into this kind of more darker nighttime kind of setting. It's weird, but it's really cool.
I'm yet to actually point out, you gave it a 9.5 in your review. So a very high score, which prompts me to ask, as I guess many people have sort of been pondering as well, is this now a Game of the Year contender in your mind?
It is. If you were to look at my scores this year, there are definitely games that have scored. There are games that have scored high. Shut the fuck up, Ewan. Don't score shame me.
No, I'm just saying it's been a good year for James games.
It's pretty high up there. There was something about Bonanza, like, for me, like, I feel like that game just hit all the right spots and had a great little moments for a big Donkey Kong fan like me. This is one thing this obviously has over DK is, like, I've finished it, Hades 2, but I'm still playing it, whereas DK, like, it kind of just ends, right? Same with Death Stranding to a certain extent as well. Definitely a front run. I think it'll be a front run for a lot of people. It's the highest rated game of the year. It's even higher than Silksong.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Hectic.
Been another like great year for indies and kind of teams on debut as well. Thinking of Clair Obscur as well. This year's actually been nuts. I'm dreading game of the year kind of deliberations time when we get into that. I'm rejigging my list daily, I think, and there's still a ton of games I haven't yet got to. Hades 2, I haven't dug into yet. I'm currently playing Ghost of Yote and really enjoying that. That's kind of sitting pretty high up the list already on the basis of what I've played. But yeah, there's a few others I need to get to. It's a bit scary. And I haven't finished Clair Obscur yet. I like desperately want to get back to that and
yeah,
drop
wow.
the difficulty down and finish that off. In amongst all your Hades 2 play, though, did you get a bit of time to play Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, the remaster of that?
I did. Review goes up today. How exciting.
Woo!
Huge. So this one... This is hard. No.
It's
I don't
Deus Ex remastered all over again.
No, it's not. It's nothing as dramatic as that, or disastrous as that, I should say. So I don't know. This is hard to talk. I don't know how to talk about this. This is like the hardest you've ever had to write, like maybe in my life. Who knows?
Wow.
Yeah. So these games are very good. They are incredible games. They are some of the most inventive platformers I think you'll ever play. I said in my review, it's crazy to think these games came out and then nothing even touched them until Odyssey after them. And then Astro Bot, right? There is just...
I'm sensing a big butt coming.
Yeah, it's a huge butt. But there is... obviously, they run better than they were originally presented on the Wii. And
thank God this, for that.
This port of Galaxy 1 is definitely... visually better for the most part compared to, say, the 3D All-Stars port that you can't buy anymore.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's all of these little things. I don't want to say lazy. It's not lazy. I just feel like it is a very bare bones and straightforward remaster. They've kind of just dumped them there. There's no, like, fanfare or, like, no... I mean, I know Nintendo doesn't normally do this, but no behind-the-scenes stuff or artwork or anything like that. You just have the two little icons on your screen, Mario Galaxy, Mario Galaxy 2. You can boot them, and then that's it. There's just nothing here to celebrate them or any... I don't know. Like, it just feels very bare bones.
I know what you're saying, but then I feel like a lot of people miss the Galaxy games or, like, a newer gamers, and I just think it's good to have a way to... Again, I haven't played it, so I don't really... And I've read the review, but I haven't played it, so I know how much things impact... you and I do wish the Nintendo were like remaking games. Like remastering it is nice, and like I don't not remaking, but I want
to be like clear. Like I don't think they should remake them or anything like that. I'm just saying. So like the new lighting in this, there's a screenshot in my review that kind of highlights what I mean perfectly. It looked weird, and there are definitely some things where
is that like an emulation thing? Do you think like is it?
Maybe, but like I mean that if that's the case. Did nobody play it and think, oh, that looks really fucking weird. Let's fix it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they just shut it out.
Because I want to be like really clear. Like there are some things where, videos going up already, before the reviews have gone out where people are comparing textures and stuff and they look like more basic or simpler on this version. I don't think that really matters. Like in the big scheme of things, I would never have noticed that unless I was watching it side by side. Like I don't think that
and
is an issue.
It's only a very small minority that will even know the difference.
100%.
Right?
Where my issue is like this fucking as this is a one example. There's a few, but this fucking tree level where I land and I was like, what is this? Like this is not how it looked, surely. And I went back and the original looked better. Like sure, like it wasn't 4K 1080 whatever, but the way that the light was hitting the trees and stuff actually looked natural. Like it didn't look like my TV was about to shit itself or my Switch is going to explode. Like
maybe it's on the fritz again.
It has been almost a year. So, but yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Like that, and I do mention this in my review, I never played Galaxy 2 ever. And I didn't play Galaxy 1 to completion. Like I played a lot of it. But for somebody like who is just playing them, and notices stuff like that, that is kind of shit. Like, I think, like, these games should be definitive versions of the game, right? Like, I think I should be able to recommend this wholeheartedly and say this is the best way to play it. And to be fair, for most people it will be. Like, I think a lot of people who maybe don't care about visuals as much will be happy to play this. But it does look better.
Yeah,
it's hard. Like, it was such a hard game to
play.
It
is a tricky one, because I guess you can only write it from your perspective, but then... Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Like,
if you're playing this for the first time, what would it be for you? Do you think?
What do you mean? Like, I would
a 10.
I don't know if I'd say it's a 10, but you can only, I don't, that's why you're like,
but you have, like, you would recommend, like, if they haven't played it, they go play it, right? Like,
yeah, like I have, but I've never at any point said, avoid this game. Like, this is the worst version of the game. Like, you, I've said, no. Yeah, I've had to be very, like, specific in my wording because, like, I don't want people to think I'm saying it's awful or anything like that.
You can't play Galaxy 2 without a Wii, can you?
Correct.
Or a Wii U.
I mean, if you didn't buy 3DALLS, if you, yeah, ding! If you didn't buy 3D All-Stars, you also can't play Galaxy 1, like, without a Wii. So it's like...
they got you good.
Yeah.
Go buy the package.
And then I've seen people like, oh, it's so ridiculous how they took it offline. Like, and it's like, I don't think 5-6 years ago they decided they were going to release these games again on the Switch 2. No. So, like, I don't think that's what was happening.
I mean, it is a bit shitty that they took that game offline, but all the same, it maybe wasn't said that they could release this game in 5 years time.
No,
you're right.
I think that is a valid criticism. Like, if you did buy that collection and you don't really need two again, or I guess, is there a big difference between one on the Switch 2 and one on the Switch, or like just the versions?
I mean, this version is different looking and sharper. It's definitely sharper. If you look at my play
history,
you're
probably not replaying it in whole if you played it then, though, right?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, so I think it's nice to have these games to play again, right? Like, and like the Deus Ex Dilemma, like I was saying before, like, it's frustrating that you can only play it, like, if you go back to old hardware or something.
If this is a 7.5, what's Deus Ex Remastered going to be? Minus 64.
Anyway, so
no,
two score shames in one. No, but
no,
I'm
agreeing with you. It's a tricky one.
It's not the same. It's not quite the same situation as Metal Gear Delta, but like it is where it's not the same at all. But it's hard because the underlying game to these is so good. Like, they're such good games.
Yeah.
But then you've chucked them out for more money than you were asking for them X years ago. And there hasn't been that many improvements, if any. And the changes that have been made are actually worse. So it's like...
Yeah.
Do you know?
And yet it's still going to sell millions of copies. So
paying for the price of entry because there's no other real way to play them at the moment.
Yeah. Like, I still implore people, like, if you played Astrobot or Odyssey and you loved those games, like, you need to play the Galaxy games. And I think, like the team who made Astrobot has said as much, like, these games serve as inspirations. Yeah. And you can see it, for sure. I
feel like Galaxy 2 is a weird blind spot for a lot of people as well. It just came so late in the Wii life cycle, but it is the better game.
Yes, it is, definitely.
Well, I don't know that, but it's widely regarded as the better game.
I think these games are just two sides of the same coin. I think they were DLC before DLC. I mean, I don't want to say DLC because they're quite big. It's like a massive... If you put these two games together, it's like playing a massive game that kind of gets easier in the middle. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it kind of dips for the beginning of Galaxy 2 and then gets back. But yeah, like... Still, I guess it's great that you can play these games. I just think that the way that it's gone about is a bit whatever. It's very, like, whatever for a game and for a time that's so celebratory in, like, Mario's life cycle, right? Like, what is it, 40 years or
and
something?
And it's about,
like,
to be the movie, right? So, like, it's a big deal.
Yeah, like, I get that they want it to be there so you can experience all of that, but, like, maybe just, I don't know, give us something. Like, the new storybook shit is just, like, background lore. Like, it's not even, like, I don't know, it just feels... And even that new stuff isn't even in that book that they're putting out physically. There's just so many weird little, like, half-arseries that are, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Weird Nintendo decisions. I mean to say. I feel like you answered my main question, which was
I have
3D All-Stars. So do I need to get this if I've not yet played Galaxy on there? And I'm kind of sensing I don't. Like, if I just go and play Mario Galaxy on that version I have, and if I enjoy it, then I could go and get two, but otherwise I could just play what I have, right?
I think I should be, like, super clear in this version. There is an assist mode, which makes it easier, but say, for you, Ewan, I would hope that you wouldn't need that, because the games are already quite easy, like, they're not super hard.
Yeah, I feel like I'll be fine.
For younger audiences, like, yeah, sure, that is great that they've included that. It just basically just doubles your health and there's some other changes. That is new. And then you can just buy Galaxy 2 digitally if you want I think, $45. So that is still an option.
Okay. Yeah, I rate
that. If you already own 3D All-Stars. But if you're somebody who collects and stuff, like, they know you're going to be double dipping and buying Galaxy again, for sure. Basically, right? Like, especially if you're buying physical. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I think these games are still great. They still stand the test of time, 100%. I just think the treatment, which is really like what I probably focused most of my review on, could definitely be better. And especially in the face of other treatments of Nintendo games, like Skyward Sword HD, a lot of the shitty motion stuff was like taken out or like kind of like rejigged to be like normal controls and stuff. And that hasn't really happened here either. Like, so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's important context for you to like feature heavily in your review. Like it's a review of the remaster component of it is quite fair. So yeah, no. Support that decision, James. Let's go to a rapid fire question though before we start closing out the episode. I couldn't help but notice that there's a couple of PlayStation kind of brand partnerships that have kicked around at the moment. We saw those Reebok shoes announced today in celebration of PlayStation's 30th anniversary, which I thought looked sick. Disappointed they're not coming to Australia. There's also the Magic the Gathering cards as well, which I also thought looked really, really cool too. So that's inspired me to ask the two of you, what kind of brand collaboration, video game brand collaboration, do you really like and you wish you had or excited you do have? Or B, like, what would you like to see? Are there two kind of brands that you'd love to see collaborate on something gaming related? I'll give you a moment to think. The one I wish I had was the, not so much gaming, but like the Spider-Man Jordan ones. I wish I had a pair of those. They were like the Into the Spider-Verse ones. They were sick. I really wish I had a pair of those. They're like stupidly hard to find and mega expensive nowadays.
It's not really a collaboration, but I'm going to go with it because I've really wanted the 20th anniversary PlayStation. I know it's not a collab, but that is one piece of just merch that I have. And there's a bunch of, like PlayStation Nikes and stuff that I've wanted over the years as well.
Yeah. Another one I'll quickly shout out. I want one of those guitars from Death Stranding 2, but like made... I'm a Fender guitar guy, but I don't think Fender would necessarily do that guitar justice. I don't know who that would need to be, but that'd be sick. James, you look like you could get behind the Timbaland Last of Us collaboration in that lumberjack shirt you're wearing today.
Why does everyone have to...
What about your typewriter, James? That's it stands out for me.
That is the one that got away. I forgot about that until you mentioned it.
There was a lot of discussion around that.
There was. Should have done it. Should have done it. Anyway.
Is that your answer? Okay.
Let's
play What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess with a round ending after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. Last week, that was Shannon, who is currently in fourth place. He's on 23 points. Narrowed that gap a little bit to you, James. You are just 1 point ahead on 24 points. Brody is in second on 26, and I'm leading the pack on 28 points. Really just kind of 2 points between all those podium positions at the moment. Harry otherwise bringing up the rear on 4 points, but we don't have him on nearly enough, so he's hard done by. Shannon, as last week's winner, though, you are today's host. Take it away when you are ready.
The first game doesn't have a Wikipedia entry, which is interesting. What are you doing?
I thought you said you were prepared for this.
I am prepared. Shannon is very prepared. I said I was doing it live, which requires no preparation because you just go for gold.
Did you select the games at least? Yeah, literally.
I have the games, yes. They've been provided by a friend of the show, Brody Gibbons, if you remember him.
Where's he dialing in from? Where is he now?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I just wanted the games and then got out of there. Okay. The game brings the groundbreaking action movie to life with trademark adrenaline pumping arcade gameplay and glorious pixel artwork.
James.
Oh. Yeah. No.
It's Terminator 2D No Fate.
God.
It is Terminator 2D No Fate. Oh, that's, yep. That's the one. Yeah. You've got it.
James off the mark. Up to 25
well
points.
Well done. Blame Brody.
You have more games?
I do.
Okay.
I'm thinking about how to keep this even.
Yeah, don't make it a James one, because otherwise he's going to get that bonus point and shoot up into second place.
What can I read to...
Brody's done me dirty here.
Yeah, this isn't a great wiki.
I'm not up on my Terminator games.
Played from a third-person perspective, the game features persistent resource and progression systems that allow the player to permanently upgrade the character's loadout with new weapons and suit enhancements for subsequent playthroughs after each character's death.
Ewan.
Yes, Ewan.
No, each character's death. I was going to guess Returnal, but I don't think that's right. No.
Yeah, it is not Returnal, and that's the end of the paragraph. You're back in, Ewan.
Thank God for that.
Set on the planet Carcosa, it follows Solitary Enforcer as he investigates a lost off-world colony. There's really not a lot to go on for this. Following the release of another game, the team sought to expand the game's... Yes, James.
Is it Saros?
It is Saros.
Oh, God. Shit.
Oh.
Brody doing us all dirty, I feel.
I just kind of rode off.
Yeah.
I thought I was on totally the wrong wavelength, and I was not. I was not off the wrong... God damn it, that's annoying. So with that, James leapfrogs Brody.
Oh my God, you're so upset.
It goes up to 27 points, only 1 point behind me. Look, James, you've won this game every year that we've played it, and I just thought maybe I could defend my lead out.
That's why we keep introducing these new segments, to try and get you guys points, because you're all so stupid. But you know,
well, speaking of that new segment you've got, James, do you want to take over and host What the Jamsy?
What the Jamsy? Yep, here we go. Currently in beta. beta.
This is going to forever be in beta. It's going to be one of those games like always in early access.
And then we're going to cancel it without and be like, no, that was a full game.
Yeah.
like multiverses style. Okay, yeah. Shannon, you have three choices, three categories to pick from tonight. Are you ready?
Hit me.
So the first category is Mario. The second category is FIFA. And the third category is Top Spin.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for the tennis category. I'm amazed it wasn't Ape Escape, tennis.
Yes.
Yeah, Mark, I was waiting for Ape Escape.
He would pick Ape Escape, and I didn't want to do that.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
I'll go Top Spin, just because I feel like Mario's a bit boring.
Wow, that's interesting.
No, no, no. Yeah, or Mario. You pick.
No, I'm not. No, you pick. That's literally the game.
Top Spin.
Okay. Shannon, for 1 point. In the Top Spin series, what is the hallmark control scheme that uses the right stick for shot types and precision?
Is it a name?
It's three words. It's three words.
Risk. Is risk a word?
It's a word. Precision.
Risk is a word in the English language, yes.
It's not. Is it not in this?
I reckon you might have meant something. Just based on his facial expressions.
Risk or reward or something. Risk versus reward.
Okay, so you get three answers.
I need a clue. Give me the first letter of each
word. No, that'll be your third clue. So your first clue is that it emphasizes timing and stick paths over face button presses.
I'm so lost.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I don't know what it's called.
Okay. The abbreviation.
A wrist. Flick the bean.
Okay, I'll just give you four choices then, okay?
Is he still getting the point?
Yeah, he is. Precision serve mode, pro stick control, total racket control, or analog shot makeup.
The second one, I think.
No, you need to... Pro stick control.
Well, if it's the first one, I feel like you misrepresented the question. Pro stick control.
Ah.
It's the third. Is it the third one?
It was Total Racket Control, Shannon. I'm sorry, you don't get your point. Yeah, well,
I hate
you guys...
how much satisfaction James gets from going.
Yeah, like, and who knows if it's even true or not?
It is. Well, it's your. What do you mean? I have. Yeah. Anyway,
did you fact check the AI that you used to produce this?
Not exactly. Wow, I don't like those accusations. Yes, I did, for what it's worth. Yeah, cool. Well, nice. Sorry, Shen, no point. But
so
you guys get to
the points.
You guys get to give me a scary trick question next week.
Okay, exciting. I'm going to dig deep into the vault, I reckon, for this. I'm gonna find the most obscure, like, Resident Evil facts, I think, to test your knowledge on this.
Yeah, I remember Brady was, like, quizzing me on them, and I didn't know any. I was, like, so embarrassed. Thank God it was
Well, I mean, I was embarrassed by the Last of Us question you had for me last week. I felt like I should have known that. Although, that was a bit cheeky,
no,
I think.
No,
you
it
just
wasn't.
Gave me, like, the answer was just the game's overall objective.
No, it wasn't.
Rather than anything specific. It was a bit of a, like, a red herring.
Oh, well, you can...
With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty.
And last but not least, it was James.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at James, A-T-J-M-Z, or Blue Sky.
I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Rockspread. Don't forget to send us your unpopular gaming opinions too. Otherwise, we'll be back again next week. Until then, happy gaming!
Bye. That noise was Shannon waving, just in case people are concerned.
Clapping my cheeks.